This episode is brought to you by Dietz and Watson.
Molly, it's time we have the talk about hot dogs.
Okay. Well, hey, I'm looking for a hot dog that's the real deal, Matthew.
Like a classic hot dog that, like, when you think of, like, the platonic ideal of a hot dog, I recommend Dietz and Watson's Dietz dogs.
Ah, well, I've heard that they're handcrafted and made using only Dietz and Watson premium meat.
I can vouch for this because Dietz and Watson sent us a big box of hot dogs and other delights, and wife of the show, Lori, and I had them for dinner last night. We had the classic beef Dietz dogs with toasted buns with sauerkraut and pickled jalapenos and Dietz and Watson ballpark-style yellow mustard.
Do you think you'd recommend Dietz and Watson hot dogs for fried rice?
Oh, yeah. Fried rice with some sliced hot dogs. I'm going to be doing that soon. Wife of the show, Lori, is going to be making the hot dog flour buns from Christina Cho's cookbook, Mooncakes and Milk Bread. Very excited for this.
And I'm especially pleased because Dietz and Watson does things the right way. So this means, like, no additives, no fillers, no artificial flavors, no cutting corners. You can feel good about this stuff.
Dietz and Watson. It's a family thing since 1939.
Shop now at dietzandwatson.com/the right way.
That's Dietz, D-I-E-T-Z, and watson.com/the right way. This episode is brought to you by Oceana. You look over the menu and the seafood sounds delicious, but what about the planet? Eating wild seafood guilt-free means sorting out the rights, wrongs, and downright scary of the seafood industry. Oceana is here to help. They're a conservation group dedicated to saving the oceans while feeding the world. Visit oceana.org/spilledmilk to join the campaign to bring back healthy wild fish to your plate and to dinner tables all over the globe. Join now and become a monthly member, and they'll send you a copy of The Perfect Protein, a book that tells you how we can save the oceans and feed the world and gives you sustainable recipes from top chefs and an easy guide for how to eat seafood responsibly. That's oceana.org, oceana.org/spilledmilk.
I'm Molly.
And I'm Matthew.
Taking a drink of water. And this is Spilled Milk, the show where we cook something delicious, eat it all, and you can't have it.
And today we're talking about sesame.
As suggested by listener Carissa. Did I pronounce that right?
I'm going to guess Carissa, but Carissa and I have not had the pleasure of meeting.
I hope we all do someday.
I'm not sure how that expression actually goes, because I think what I was about to say was Carissa hasn't had the pleasure of meeting me. Or maybe she has, and I forgot, or I didn't realize that she was meeting me. This could have gone any number of ways and is very important.
Yes. Well, anyway, sesame.
How should we open our sesame episode? I'm so sorry.
I like that you thought of that, because I was just thinking of Sesame Street.
Oh, yeah. No, I've been thinking about so many sesame things.
Like, wondering if I should be Abby Cadabby, or what gender Elmo is. Could I be Elmo?
I think anyone who has Elmo in their heart can be Elmo.
Can be Elmo. I think you're right.
That's what I think. Okay. But everyone is also kind of Oscar sometimes.
That's
as well
true.
As Cookie Monster.
That's true.
This isn't a joke. This is just kind of true.
I love to talk about just, like, normal stuff like Cookie Monster. Like, me have too much romaine lettuce in me refrigerator.
Again, that's also true. You just made me accept a bunch of romaine lettuce.
I did. Okay, anyway.
So, do we want to try and narrow this down somewhere? Because when I started,
yeah,
like, writing up...
huge.
There's sweet sesame, there's savory sesame. Should we, like, stick with... savory sesame?
And I want to be sure. I mean, if we're going to talk about sweet sesame, we got to talk about those sesame buns they do at Din Tai Fung,
yeah,
and other places. Maybe we should just do savory sesame.
Okay. I mean, how much do you want to bet, first of all, that there's a book called Sweet Sesame?
Oh, I'm not going to bet very much, but yeah. I'm willing to bet.
Let's go to sweetsesame.com and find out what that is. How detailed do we want to get? I feel like we're deciding what this show is going to be about, like, right here in front of your ears.
Okay, well, let's just dive in.
Okay.
With I think sort of the most basic version of sesame, which is sesame seeds. Isn't
yes.
this where it all begins, Matthew?
This is literally where it all
it
begins.
It all begins
for sesame.
With a seed. So wait, what kind of plant does this grow on, Matthew?
Shit, why does this happen to me week after week?
Because usually you do some research before the show to make us look good.
Okay, well, here's the thing. A few years ago, I wrote an article about sesame seeds for Cullinate.com.
I knew it.
Did I, like, go back and reread that article? Probably not, but we're going to link to it.
Okay.
I talked to a guy who I think works for a company called Sesico. And he knew a lot about sesame seeds. So the main thing that I remember, watch how I'm totally sidestepping this question about what kind of plant they grow on, because I don't know, is that there are some like big divides in the world of sesame seeds. And I mean the product, not like that there are warring factions, although who knows, but you can get your sesame seeds like with the hull on or the hull off. You can get black sesame seeds or white sesame seeds.
Is the hull like an outer shell?
It's like an outer shell.
And you can eat the hull.
You can eat the hull. And the ones we have sitting on the table here are hull on because that's what I prefer. I think they have more flavor and more crunch.
God, I don't know if I've ever had hulled sesame seeds. They must be absolutely tiny because these are tiny.
So the hulled ones, I should have gotten some to compare. We'll post a photo of that also. The hulled ones are very white and kind of flat. The hull on ones is this, you know, the nomenclature gets really confusing because like hulled, does that mean hull on or hull off?
I feel
it's like clothed. Does that mean clothes on or clothes off? I never know. So I just like show up however.
What about, so let's call them hulled and hullless.
I like it. So hulled means hull on and hullless means.
Yeah, I think so.
Hull off.
Yeah.
I'm going to hull off and punch these
hold
sesame
on,
seeds.
Hold off.
Oh, is this a karate lesson?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, so these ones that we've got here, some are white, some are kind of tan. They're kind of like, they look like tiny pine nuts. Did you toast these?
I did not toast them, but I bought toasted sesame seeds.
Oh.
Which you can do. I think it's okay. Is it tastier when they're toasted at home, like shortly prior to using them? Yes. Is it a huge difference? Nah.
Do you find that the toasted ones are often already rancid by the time you buy them?
Sometimes, which is why I like to buy them at a place with high turnover. So I got these at a Wajamaya where a lot of people buy a lot of sesame seeds and I figured they're going to be fresh enough. And then I store them in the freezer.
Oh, wow.
Because I don't want them to get rancid because that is super gross.
That is
now, having
super,
said that,
super disgusting.
I just opened this jar and I haven't tasted them. So, you know, there could be something wrong with
them.
They
smell really nice. So, okay. So I think most people, when they come into contact with sesame seeds, are probably rubbing up against them. That's how they come into contact with them.
Oh, like at the beach, only they
or like
roll
in a crowded subway car.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. So most people, when they enter a crowded subway car with a bunch of sesame seeds, I think that those are usually the hull-less kind.
I think those are more popular like in American culture.
Yeah, because those are whiter.
Yeah. Well, yes.
No, that's not what I meant. Uh-huh. I meant that, well, clearly, given the state of race relations right
uh-huh,
now.
Right. We all need to take a good look at our own sesame seeds.
I'm really blushing right now.
The hull-less ones are like the ones you see on a burger bun.
Well, yeah, and I was meaning that I think that's what most people would recognize. They're the ones that are uniformly white.
Yes, and very like uniform in shape and size, typically.
Kind of shiny. They're shinier than these hulled ones.
Yeah, the hulled ones have, they also have like a line down one side that's part of like, I don't know, the seed coat. Is that a thing? I think it's the seed coat.
Okay. So do you use them always toasted?
Not always, but usually.
Yeah.
Usually I buy the toasted ones and don't like retoast them before I use them because toasting sesame seeds is, it's not hard. It's just like
the one
extra step that if there's a way to get around it, if there's a way to get around any extra step in life, I am probably the guy like taking the shortcut.
Yeah. I would not have expected that of you, but now that you mention it, sure.
I don't know. Like,
I see what you're saying.
There was a time, well, you know what it is. We've talked about this before. There was a time before I had a child when I would be like, you know, I'm going to toast my own sesame seeds and I'm going to toast nuts and I'm going to, like, what else do people do?
Yeah,
in
that
the
was
kitchen?
Back when I made my own salt cod.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I mean, really.
you made your own salt cod? We should get into this sometime.
Yeah.
But exactly. Like I'm going to cure meats and hang them in my garage.
Right.
Like,
definitely only do that before children.
Right.
And I think that's what children are really good for, is talking some sense into us.
Well, yes. Another way you can go with it is you have the kid and you immediately put them to work in your smokehouse or your cure shack. What's the non-smoked cured equivalent of a smokehouse?
Your closet.
Okay.
Okay. So how do you use... untoasted sesame seeds.
Whoa, Molly's battery just started to run down like an old cassette tape. Do you remember this? Like
yes!
when you had like the battery powered cassette player, and like the battery would start to run down, but like it wouldn't happen all at once, and you'd be like, oh, this is, I can live with this for a little while. Like, you know, okay, oh, Debbie Gibson suddenly sounds like Barry White, but that's interesting.
Okay. So do you ever use the untoasted ones? And why would someone use the untoasted ones?
Well, it's... Why would someone do such a thing? How dare they? The untoasted ones, it's just a different flavor profile. So tahini is made from untoasted sesame seeds, and tahini is great.
Wait a minute. But isn't some tahini made from roasted stuff?
Possibly. I think classically, like when you buy like your can
like
of Joyva.
Is that it tastes so toasty roasty.
Remember that Seinfeld episode where he thought his girlfriend's name was Joyva? it does, and that's and you know, it's not an enormous difference. Like, you know, you toast the sesame seeds and now like boom, totally different flavor. You know, it just brings out more of like a little savory, so almost bitter edge that sometimes you want and sometimes you don't.
Okay, cool.
So I'm in the dish that I'm going to make today, I'm going to put in some Chinese sesame paste, and really the main difference...
Wait, sesame paste?
Yeah, so...
I've never used this.
It's great. It's a little thicker than tahini, and the only other difference is it's made with toasted sesame seeds rather than untoasted.
And so is it just made from grinding up toasted seeds?
It is purely just made from grinding up toasted seeds. There are no other ingredients. I love it when there's something like that, right?
It's so cool. And so what, you know, how do you think it winds up being different from tahini? Does tahini have oil added?
I believe tahini does have oil added, so it's sort of like a smoother, creamier texture. But it really, it's the kind of bitter. Bitter is such a negative word.
I love bitterness.
Okay,
now,
but let's,
so I don't think it's negative.
Okay, I was going to ask if there's like a food writery way to say bitter without using the word bitter.
No. Okay. I think you just own it, Matthew.
Okay, because you'll see it's really intense, and also we're obviously going to get into this.
Are we going to taste it on its own?
Sure, absolutely, we can.
Okay,
sesame. You know, toasted sesame tastes crazily like peanut butter. You know, especially when you grind it up. I mean, you're going to see.
Okay.
Cool. I'm gonna grab that sesame paste. I'm gonna make some sesame chicken, and we'll see you guys in a few minutes.
Okay. Today's episode of Spilled Milk is brought to you by Harry's.
So it seems like the razor companies and the drugstore have conspired to make buying a razor and blades a miserable experience, right?
Yeah. For one thing, they're usually locked up.
Like you're buying meth supplies.
Uh-huh. And you have to go get a drugstore associate to unlock the thing for you. And then there's sort of like all this pressure to like choose right away because the drugstore associate is standing right there waiting to lock the case up again.
And like three blades cost approximately $1,000.
Yeah, it's like it's like having a baby.
Okay.
It's a big decision.
It doesn't have to be this way. If you go to harrys.com, they have starter kits and German-made blades at half the drugstore price or less, and their stuff is beautiful. So they sent me a starter kit. I've got the Harry's razor and a couple of blades and the Harry's foaming shave gel, which has a wonderful... How would you describe this scent?
Oh, as like the scent of man.
It's the scent of a man.
Mm,
you know that like
I
that movie, Scent
it.
Of a Man?
But I have to say that I would use that shave gel. I mean, so I'm someone who I tend to use men's deodorant because I like the smell of it. I would totally use this shave gel and this razor. There's nothing that screams a man needs to use me this razor.
It doesn't scream at all.
No, it's except a very quiet razor.
It screams quality. How about that?
It does. So, it does. Harry's bought a razor factory in Germany that had been making some incredibly high quality blades for almost a century. Isn't that cool? And now that's where they're making their razors.
Can you imagine what the two of us could accomplish if we owned a razor factory in Germany? We need to get out of this podcast business. This is over. We're going into the razor business. No, we're not, because harrys.com has it covered. So here's what you're going to do. You're going to go to harrys.com and use the offer code MILK, M-I-L-K, mm-hmm. and you're going to get their starter kit, which is usually $15, for only $10, and that includes free shipping, because don't you hate it when you go to a website to buy something and then it turns out the shipping is like twice as much as the product you want?
I hate that.
Not at harrys.com. So
wait, this is kind of amazing. Hold on. So you get this container of foaming shave gel, the razor, and did you say three blades?
It includes three blades.
So that's $10 with, you know, if you use your $5 off code MILK.
Harrys.com, coupon code MILK at checkout. Start shaving smarter today.
I love greasy stuff.
Good. Because this is it. So this is some improvised triple sesame chicken. So I diced some chicken thighs. I stir fried them. I threw in a little garlic, and then I made a sauce from soy sauce, rice wine, Chinese sesame paste. And then at the end, I stirred in some sesame oil and sesame seeds.
Wait, you made this up?
Yeah, for sure.
So what is this based on? Like, how'd you learn how to do this?
I don't know, because I followed some stir-fry recipes in books and then sort of picked up the technique. Like, I feel like this is a thing that that food writers are always saying you should do. Like, you know, just learn the techniques and then you'll never need a recipe. Stir-frying is the only thing I've successfully pulled that off with.
I feel like I've pulled it off with a couple things, like braising in general.
Okay, yeah, I can braise.
Braising,
but like, you know, other things like salad making, I feel like every time I just throw together a salad, I'm like, this is boring.
I think that I have a higher threshold for accepting boring things than you do.
Maybe
because
so.
I am very frequently satisfied with the salads I make. And I don't think it's because I'm an exceptional salad maker. I think it's because I am exceptionally pleased with boring things.
Well, as we've discussed on the show before, I'm sure I'm a huge fan of the Fast and Furious franchise. And I think, like, since I've been watching those movies, like, every time a new one of those comes out, like, my need for over the top, like
flavor.
Yeah, over the top flavor and action in my life just gets accelerated to an absurd degree.
Wow. So now that we're on, like, what is it, Fast and Furious 7?
Yeah, that's why we're recording today on a beam suspended high above the city. That's why I'm wearing a flame suit. You know, I know you're too polite to ask. So yeah, this is sesame chicken.
Okay, so hold on. Wait, let's taste the sesame paste.
Yeah.
Can I stick the end of my fork in it?
Yeah, please. Now think about when you're eating this chicken, like, if I had said there was peanut butter in here, you would have been like, yeah, seems like it. I'm just going to speak for you.
Matthew, if you told me this was peanut butter, I'd be like, this peanut butter is fucked.
Well, but this is, you know, this is the concentrated version. Like, if there were...
But it's really cool because it does have a lot of bitterness in, like, a really nice way. Mmm.
And it's unsalted also.
Oh, I like that. So what else do you do with that?
Sesame paste?
Yeah.
It's good. You know, it's good in stir fries and it's good in dipping sauces. And that's about all I do use it for.
I like it.
I bet it would be great in some kind of cookie also.
Yeah.
But this is the savory sesame episode.
Oh,
we can't talk about that.
Nope. Can we do a sweet sesame episode and like eat a bunch of halva?
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, let's do that. Okay. Well, okay,
and doesn't the sesame paste taste a little bit like halva now that you mentioned that?
If you mixed a bunch of sugar into it. So let's talk about sesame oil.
Also made from toasted sesame. Well, yeah, actually, no, there's two kinds.
Well, I have only ever used toasted sesame oil. And I think that's all that's usually in a mainstream grocery store.
Mm-hmm. Unless you're like in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
You're welcome.
Yeah. I'm so glad that you found a way to work that in.
Toasted sesame oil is the one that's used for flavoring. It's very delicate. You know, it has a low smoke point. If you heat it, the flavor kind of disappears pretty quickly. So you put it on at the end. There's also refined untoasted sesame oil that's kind of just like any other vegetable oil.
Mm, okay. So we've covered sort of, you know, the range of like things that you can use to flavor savory foods.
Yeah,
right?
Things you can use to flavor the savor.
What about those little sesame snack things that often come in trail mix? Because so Brandon and I pulled up at like a parking lot by a hiking trail next to a guy who had an entire like clamshell package of those on top of his car. And I was like, that's hardcore dedication to the sesame stick.
I'm worried now that he's going to drive off and they're just going to go flying all over the parking lot. And I would probably pick them up and still eat them because those things are amazing.
You love those things?
I love them. I find them to be, for me, one of the snack food. Like, they sell them in bulk some places, but mostly when I run across them, it's in the pound bag at Trader Joe's, which I will not buy because they are literally for me one of those things that like I cannot stop eating them out of the bag.
That's how I feel about the peanut butter stuffed pretzel.
Oh yeah,
nubs.
those two.
Oh my god!
The peanut nubs, the sesame. Mm-hmm. Again, we're talking about peanut and sesame in the same breath.
So is this a legume?
Oh god, I think it's not.
What is it?
I think if
what are seeds?
What are seeds?
You know, it's just like a plant.
It's like a little baby plant package. It's like, you know, it's like a gamete, right?
Oh my god, wow, I haven't heard the word gamete
since college.
Wow. Can we
my gametes haven't gotten much of a workout
since
college.
Can we talk about meiosis now?
Oh, we can meiosis all over the place.
Oh, yes. can we talk about...
I feel like we're like veering toward doing like some kind of Big Bang Theory inspired bit where... Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like you want to come over for some meiosis and see my gametes. I've seen like two episodes of that show. I don't know if they would say that or not.
Oh, there's a show. Wait, there's a show called Big Bang.
Okay, great.
Wait, so, I thought you were talking about the actual like cosmic event.
Yeah, that's sure. Let's say that's what I was talking about.
Okay.
I feel like I completely dodged a bullet there because I was like, oh no, now everybody's gonna know that like I tried to make a joke about this extremely popular show and failed. And then Molly's like, what? That's a show?
That's right, everybody. Woo-hoo! I'm still on season 1, episode 7 of The Sopranos.
So the big no spoilers.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the Big Bang Theory, it's a show set in the past, like 4.6 billion years ago.
Okay.
And
there are a whole bunch of particles.
Right. So on the first episode is actually like infinitely long and also instant because time was compressed into like a single particle at that point.
I thought you were going to say infinitely long and extremely boring.
Oh, you mean like that by that book by wait, who wrote that book? Is it Jonathan Safran Foer?
Yes. Infinitely long and incredibly boring.
No, that's not a very
national
nice thing to say
bestseller.
About that bestselling
I've
book.
Never read it.
Okay, well that's a good reason to judge it.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's our review of The Big Bang Theory.
Mm-hmm.
And incredibly loud and
something
unbearably
something close.
unbearably close
loud and incredibly close and unbearably loud. No, incredibly
nope.
Close and unbearably loud.
I don't think it has unbearably in it. Wow, this may be our worst crime yet. Yep. All right. So, Jonathan, if you're listening, we love your book. All right. So when I was in high school. You know, when my gametes were just coming
That's
into their own.
That's when you learned about the Big Bang Theory.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And I worked on the high school newspaper, and those sesame sticks were like our official snack.
Oh my god, you worked on the high school newspaper?
Of course I worked on the high school newspaper.
What was it called?
It was called the Cardinal Times.
Okay.
Because the Cardinals were our sporting mascot.
At my college, we were the Cardinal, not to be confused with the bird. It was the color.
Okay, wait, that was the newspaper or the sporting team?
That was the sporting team.
Okay.
The newspaper in my high school
So my high school was the Cardinals and yours was the Cardinal?
No, my high school was the Cyclones.
Okay, then what was the Cardinal?
Cyclones, are you ready? Ready.
I'm ready.
No. my high school was the Cyclones and the newspaper was... I don't think we had a newspaper.
Wait, okay. I literally have not the slightest idea what the Cardinal is. I feel like I am searching for the Maltese Falcon.
That's the Stanford like sporting team.
College. Got
College,
it. Okay.
Yeah. That's like, though, everyone would take great pains to remind you that it's not the bird, it's the color.
Okay.
And then I'm like, what kind of mascot is that? Is it like a
You're right. It's
paint
not.
Swatch?
It's a terrible mascot.
It's a terrible mascot. Instead, we have a dancing tree.
Who has a dancing tree?
Stanford.
What does that have to do with Cardinals? I mean, with the
Nothing.
Color. Okay.
Nothing.
You know what our mascot was? A bird. I didn't even get to the end of my story.
Okay, go on.
It's really going to be worth it. We didn't call them sesame sticks, though. We called them rabbit food. That's the end of the story. And so periodically, we would send someone over to the Safeway 4 blocks from school to for get rabbit more food. Rabbit food.
Wow. Cool.
All right.
Well, I didn't write for the high school newspaper. I worked on the literary magazine.
Oh, we definitely had a literary. Yeah. Well, okay, what was it called?
Logos.
What is that?
I think it's like the Latin word for word or something.
Oh, like L-O-G-O-S?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Logos.
Yeah. All right. I like it. Did you, did your work appear in it?
Of course.
Would you read us a selection?
Absolutely not.
All right. So you can, we'll link to some back issues of Logos on our site and to a Cardinal paint swatch. I guess this means we're finishing the show now.
I think so.
That, my friends, mm-hmm. was our savory sesame episode.
And boy, was it memorable.
We're going to link to my sesame article. You know, you asked, like, how did I learn the stir-frying stuff?
Yeah.
And I don't know, but, like, I share everything that I know about stir-frying in another article that I wrote.
Ooh, will you link to that? Because I'd like to know everything there is to know about you.
Okay. I will link to that. Yeah. It's all about my gametes and stuff. We'll link to the Wikipedia page for the Big Bang Theory, both of them.
Yep.
And boy, we're giving Abby a lot of work because when I say we'll link to it,
we really mean Abby.
Abby will link to it.
Thank you, Abby.
And you can find us online at spilledmilkpodcast.com where there'll be a bunch of links. Oh, yep. And also my sesame chicken recipe. I'll codify that into a recipe.
Great.
for posterity.
I look forward to it.
And you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/spilledmilkpodcast.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about your memories of the literary magazine or the early days of the universe.
Yeah. Or your gametes.
The universe was so much better in the early days.
It was.
I can't even
begin.
Do you
remember, like, back when the universe was young?
There was no Justin Bieber.
You could get, like, an entire meal for, like, a dime.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was, like, a full meal with, like, you know, meat and two veg.
Three veg.
And, like, yeah, we've had total veg deflation since then. All right. We should probably wrap this up.
Great.
And until next time, thank you for listening to Spilled Milk. Well, I think we blew it all before this part. I'm Matthew Amster Burton.
And I'm Molly Weisenberg.
Never mind. We're going to cut this because I don't remember what the brand name is or anything.
We're just going to cut this whole show.
No, this is great.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.